Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I am really delighted, excited actually, to welcome a very special guest this week, Patrick Rice. Patrick is the co-founder of Encounter Ministries. He's its current executive director. Can't stay on top of it. He's got so much going on. He's the ministry's growing all over the world, really. I wanted to invite Patrick to come to tell his own story, his personal story, because I think it's going to really inspire you and move you, but also to tell the story of where Encounter came from and what God is doing through it. Because some of you are listening, I know the Lord's not only going to bless you with what we're going to be talking about this week, because Patrick will be here all week with us, but also it may open a door, Lord may call you to join one of their Encounter schools, which is transformational. So welcome, Patrick.
Thank you, Peter. It's such an honor to be here, brother.
Yes, you know what? I forgot to say that you are married to a wonderful woman named Emily, and you have six kids.
That's right.
How's the clan doing?
Amazing. Our oldest is graduating high school.
Already?
Already.
Wow. That's great. That's great. Congratulations,
Thank
Dad.
You.
That's
Thank
so
you.
Good. Well, I thought the best place to start is just with your own story, your own testimony of how you uniquely encountered the Lord in your own journey and how
Absolutely.
That changed your life.
Yeah. So I came from an amazing Catholic family, mom and dad, six kids, from a family of six kids myself. And I went to Catholic school my whole life. I went to Mass, a very good, typical upbringing. I came to basically know a lot about God, but I never had an experience that I could point to and say, I personally encountered God at this moment. It never really happened. So although we were kind of doing the right things and having good experiences in a pretty good culture, I couldn't really point to anything. And when high school came around, I went to a Catholic high school, but it was very intellectual, and I didn't see what you would now call witnesses. Just normal people like Americans that also happen to be Catholic, not Catholics that happen to be American. Mm-hmm. And so it led me to, you know, questions came up. And the big question that came up for me was, why do I believe, like the big questions, is there a God? Is he real? Who is he? Who am I to God? When those big questions came up, the question that hit me my junior year of high school was, why do I believe what I believe as a confirmed Catholic? And I had this crisis of thought where it was like, I came to believe that I only believe what I believe because I was born into it. That if I was born in a different country, I would just believe Hinduism or Islam or Judaism. And I couldn't point to anything outside of my personal belief that could point to that. So what that ended up doing was it led to what I now know as relativism, that there's no objective truth. And if there's no objective truth, then where you are, religion doesn't really matter. Only ultimately what it comes down to is your own personal desires or what matter. And so although I stayed kind of culturally Catholic, I started kind of going the way of the world and falling into patterns of sin as a young adult. And then when I went to college at The Ohio State University with the greatest football team on earth, they won the national championship that year. Mm-hmm. Amazing. And I fell into a life of parties, sin, and all of that stuff that is becoming so common. And I had a near-death experience. I was on a porch party at the end of the year, and the porch collapsed. And I fell through, and I landed on my abdomen on a piece of concrete, and it ruptured my spleen in three places. Went to the hospital, and I was admitted to the surgical intensive care unit. And yeah, I was put there. It was an absolute shocker. And my parents, they were there, and they were like, wow, to make a long story short, in that they realized maybe his culture, his environment, the state school environment, had something to do with the trajectory of where our son had gone. And I think they knew it at a big place. I wasn't in a good place with God. I was very open about my doubt and unbelief. They never had an issue with me. They always loved me through that and accepted me right where I was. But they were also paying for my university. And so they said, we're done. We're done with paying for the for
no
Ohio
more
State.
Buckeye parties.
Yeah.
Going somewhere else, yeah.
They got a good football team, but the school is a different story. So your school experience. So my dad filled out my application to Franciscan University of Steubenville and got me accepted.
That's how you got there. I was wondering about that. Okay.
It was the best decision I never made. And so that sophomore year, I ended up transferring into Franciscan University. And one thing I loved about Franciscan Peter was, even though I still had my big intellectual stuff, and I started to kind of pride myself in my doubt and unbelief. And I would actually kind of get a high off of asking believers these big, tough questions, stuff that they never considered. And I started to have all these answers. And I've gotten to various philosophies and things like that. And so I ended up going to their study abroad campus my junior year. And I was still not a believer. What do I call it? I did not believe that Jesus was God and all these things. I didn't believe in the church, but I was still in the environment, even at Franciscan, which you can do. So it all changed. I had a moment where when I went to the study abroad campus in Austria, it was in this, if you don't know about it, they have the university has a 14th century Cartusian monastery, and they converted it in the 90s into a study abroad campus. And only about 100, 115 people go every semester, and you get to experience, you know, go to classes in this old monastery building. And then on the weekends, you get to travel Europe, and a lot of they encourage you to go to shrines and pilgrimages. But for me, I went to like Prague and Vienna, and I joined an ultimate frisbee team in Vienna, and I loved it. And there was a kid that kept inviting me to every month. They did these Eucharistic festivals of praise where they would go to this old 14th century monastery, and they would do praise and worship with the Eucharist exposed. And he kept inviting me the first few months, and I said, no, it's not for me, not my thing. But then we became more and more friends, one of the guys that was leading this, and he invited me again to the one in November. And he said, hey, I know it's not your thing, but I'm actually leading the music this time. It would be really meaningful if you come and support me. Mm. And I would think to myself, you know, this might not be my thing, but I'm a good friend, and I will support my friends. So I went to the event. I was 20 minutes late. I was at a place where the sin, it was just all starting to weigh on you. You know, you can think you have everything down right in your head, but sin, no matter what form it takes, it weighs on you. It's heavy. I was at a place where like my world was not doing great. And all the fear, anxiety, worry, concern was just really heavy. And so I showed up 20 minutes late, and there were about 50 kids, like maybe half the campus seemed to be there. And I sat in the back, and I was 20 minutes late, just kind of waved hi. And all of a sudden, after like 5 minutes of being there, they stopped singing. And then the priest, he goes and grabs the monstrance, and he starts walking down the
aisle. For those who might be listening, what's a monstrance?
Monstrance is a gold vessel that contains the communion host from Mass. When the priest consecrates the host and said, this is my body, which will be given up for you. And the Catholics, is our Catholic doctrine, we believe that at that word, this is my body, when Jesus said that, it's no longer bread. It actually is his body, even though it has the appearances of bread. And when the priest does that, in the person of Christ, the same thing happens. And then they take that host, that communion host, and they put that in this vessel, this monstrance, and then people are invited to adore it. It sounds crazy to a lot of Catholics. It sounds demonic to Protestants, yeah. But we do it anyway. And so I knew all of my, because I went to Catholic school my whole life. I knew that Catholics believe that this is actually Jesus, not just a piece of bread. And he's walking down this long chapel. It's like probably 200 feet long from front to back, very narrow. And everyone's getting on their knees. And when I'm sitting there, I'm at the far back. And I had this moment where I'm like, oh my gosh, everything that the Catholics believe, and what separates Catholics from Protestants is that this is actually Jesus. I don't believe this. And then I had this thought in my mind, but I'm still Catholic. I'm from a Catholic family. I never stopped saying I'm not Catholic. I was just a non-believer Catholic. I was an unbelieving believer, we'll put it that way. And so I had this thought in my mind that like, oh my gosh, Moses in the Old Testament, he couldn't even look into the burning bush when God appeared to him. He had to get on his knees. It was so powerful, this moment. How is it that if God is present in this host, how can I just stare defiantly? This doesn't make any, this is not possible. if that's true. So as the priest was coming closer, I was getting more and more uncomfortable. And I was coming up with this intellectual justification that this is not actually God. And as the priest got closer and closer, I just kept mumbling to myself, you're not God. This isn't God. This isn't real. I can't wait to get out of here. And then the priest stopped right at the back where I was. And he turned the monstrance. And when it squared up at me, Peter, it was like time started to slow down. It was like all the light in the room collected around the host and sent this beam of power into my chest that physically knocked me back in the pew.
Mm.
And these words came out of my mouth as the priest kept walking. He was just staring at the host the whole time, mm-hmm. caught up. He didn't even know what was going on with me. I had these words come out of my mouth, "My Lord and my God," which I didn't know what that meant, but I came to know later, this is what Thomas, Doubting Thomas, said after he encountered Jesus from his doubt and unbelief. And then the priest went back up there to the front, and then all of a sudden, I had these doubts come in. You just made that happen. I remember this word from I learned at Ohio State when we were studying Sigmund Freud, that all religious experiences are subconscious manifestations. And Freud taught that people subconsciously make themselves manufacture experiences. And I was like, oh my gosh, did I just manufacture that, or was that real? And I think for everyone who's listening that's had a God encounter, that's something that's very common, to doubt whether this actually happened. But not only is Jesus fully alive in the Eucharist, he's fully alive in his church. And this young guy came up into the microphone and he said, hey, when the procession was happening, Jesus told me in my heart, I have my eyes closed, that he did something to someone he's never done before, and he wants you to come up and share. And I felt convicted at that word. It was a word of knowledge, a gift of the Holy Spirit. God gave supernatural revelation to someone that was spoken, and it confirmed that what I experienced was real. And I was wearing Birkenstocks and linen pants and long hair, and I walked up. I had a pretty bad reputation. Everyone flung their eyes back and pointed at me, and they were like, him? Like, God just did something to him? That guy is the worst, you know? And I took the microphone and I told them everything I just told you guys right now. And I'm telling you, at that moment, my faith became real. And I remember at one point you said, your faith is not real until it's been shared. And that was totally the truth for me. My faith became real when I shared the encounter I had with Jesus at that moment in 2004 in Austria.
Wow, what a gift. Tomorrow you got to tell me how your parents responded to it when you eventually told them what happened to you. But wow, what a gift. Patrick's going to be with us tomorrow, but before we close, I want to tell you a little bit about how you can get in touch with Encounter Ministries.
Yeah, we have an annual Encounter Conference coming up July 16th to the 18th in Toledo, Ohio. And if you want to learn about that, it's encounterconference.org.
Okay,
encounterconference.org.
And everything you're doing, your schools and all of that, is at the same website, encounter.org?
If you want to learn about our school of ministry, it's encounterschool.org.
Okay, very good. Well, friends, I just want to tell you, I've had the privilege of being able to be a part of some things that have gone on with Encounter, different conferences, and know their team, and the hand of the Lord's on them. There's just no question about it. And the Lord is calling people who never felt that call in their life before to come forward and to really say yes to him at this important time in the life of the church. Patrick's going to be here with us again tomorrow. Hope you can join us. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.